Hello, welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Hey, did you know, did you realize already, Mother's Day is this Sunday? It's May of 2019, can you believe it? We're going to talk about some ways to appreciate and bond with your mother and maybe celebrate Mother's Day like you never have before. We've got a psychologist who, listen to this. This Dr. Frieda, she had twins at 60 years old. So she probably has a lot of wisdom. A mother of five in all. She's also going to talk about something that affects so very many, getting through this special day if you've lost your mother, the grieving process, etc. So stay tuned for that. Also, something that affects so very many, dealing with common workplace issues. Dr. Arlen Diamond of DiamondAssociates.net, leadership management professional and organizational development services for decades. There are so many that affect us. What do you think some of the top ones are? Okay, feeling underappreciated. Gossip. There are several, and we're going to go through them and see just how we can best deal with them, because, you know, it's also a Mental Health Awareness Month, and, you know, you go to work every day, and it can really grate on you. If we can eliminate some of these things, it could be very helpful to helping us all have better mental health. Dr. Diamond will be along. Also, Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President will be here. A few things. We'll probably talk about the border. We'll talk about the 2020 election and the Democrats. And also the big thing trending today, the White House is telling a former member of its legal team not to comply with the congressional subpoena. This all has to do with Mueller. Are we still paying attention to that? Don McGahn is being told not to turn over any documents related to the Mueller investigation. The administration, Trump administration, citing executive privilege. This is all just part of the latest in the standoff between the White House and House Democrats, who just cannot let go of the whole probe, the whole conspiracy. And on that note, meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he is saying Democrats do need to move on in what are some are describing as a scorching speech on the floor today. He accused Democrats of rooting for a national crisis for political gain, rather than rooting for something good. And he is. He's asking lawmakers to move on from the Russia controversy now that the Mueller report is complete. Case closed, he says. Listen.
Except the facts let them down. The facts let them down. And so the left has swung all of these cannons around and fired them at the Attorney General. Not for any legitimate reason, just because he's a convenient target. So look, Madam President, there's this outrage industrial complex. Outrage industrial complex. This spans from Capitol press conferences to cable news. They're grieving. That the national crisis they spent 2 years wishing for did not materialize. But for the rest of the country, this is good news. Bad news for the outraged industrial complex, but good news for the country. So now they're slandering a distinguished public servant because the real world has disappointed them. Instead of taking a deep breath and coming back to reality, our colleagues across the aisle want to shoot the messenger and keep the perpetual outrage machine right on going. Even undermining the institution of the Attorney General itself in the process. So remember, Russia set out to sow discord, to create chaos in American politics, and undermine confidence in our democracy. Now, Madam President, it bears remembering what this investigation was actually supposed to be about: Russian interference in 2016. For many of the president's opponents, it quickly morphed into something else, a last hope that maybe they'd never have to come to terms with the American people's choice of a president. In some corners, Special Counsel Mueller came to be regarded as a kind of secular saint, destined to rescue the country from the inconvenient truth that the American people actually elected Donald Trump.
Mitch McConnell on the floor today speaking. He gave, 18 minutes of sort of a scathing commentary, telling Democrats to get over it and to move on and, quote unquote, case closed. We're chatting about this and more with Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, one of the largest, if not the largest, pro-Trump PAC in America. He's a former state senator from Colorado. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment, Senator Ted, if this is, you know, this McGahn thing, for the common, normal citizen who's not all about politics but wants to be a good citizen, do we need to be paying attention to everything that goes on? They may not even know the name McGahn, but the administration is saying ignore the subpoenas. Is it just a matter of Democrats, again, not letting go, or is there anything real, or is there any meat to this? But first, I know that you've had some complete drama in your neighborhood today in Highland Ranch, Colorado, where there was a shooting and a couple suspects in custody as you and I speak, and the news on this is changing at the minute. But this is very close to you, right, Ted?
It is, and unfortunately, this hits a little too close to home. It was another high school in my community, in my neighborhood, where we had two kids come into a classroom and shoot up the classroom, and two of the students in the classroom were injured. Thankfully, they were not killed. One was shot in the leg. Another was, I'm not sure exactly what his injuries were, but from what I understand, he is fine and is alive. You know, Colorado has had far too many of these school shootings. We were Columbine. My son was in a school shooting at Arapahoe High School, and we knew the shooter in that situation. These are tough situations, and we've got to deal with, you know, some of the mental health issues that our kids are facing. I'm not sure what the answer is, but a lot, having students and teachers being sitting ducks in gun-free zones is not the answer. When the people are sitting ducks, then only the duck hunters have guns, right. And we need to solve that problem and have people in there that are trained and able to take care of the students and the teachers that are there.
I mean, you can go back and forth on this sort of issue all day, and we have for decades. It's a head issue and a heart issue. But the fact of the matter is, just like that happened a week and a half ago in Poway, California, 10 minutes from my studio, you had a gunman go in. Another man, a former veteran from the Army, was able to have his gun and bring it up and stop the man. The guy was scared to death and ran out. And then another off-duty Border Patrol agent ran out. They drew on his car. He drove away. We had one person die named Lori Kay, God rest her soul, and we are still mourning here in San Diego County. However, when you have people, when the good guys are armed, it's a whole different story, isn't it?
That's right. And in this situation, what's amazing is it was the kids in the classroom, from what I understand, that took the gunman down. Wow. So these kids that were unarmed defended themselves, defended the teacher in the classroom, and jumped the kids with the guns and were able to disarm them before they were able to shoot anybody else. So God bless them, and they are truly the heroes in this situation.
It really makes you want to weep to think of children having to have that mindset, so different from when you and I were in school. I mean, we did have drills about getting under the desk. You know, we were worried about Russian nuclear bombs and things. This is what we did. But we didn't have the Columbine and things like this in our midst, where we had to think about things like this. But it's such a reality. And you know, Senator Ted, so many times you see kids on the news and they're speaking of, here's what happened, with almost such a, they're so remote and removed from it that you can't believe that this is what they saw up close and personal. And they almost just the way they ingest it, it's almost like it's normalized, which is so very sad.
That is the worst part about the whole thing, is that this is normalized. There's nothing more surreal, and I can tell you as a parent that's been in that situation, than having to drive up to a school with SWAT teams all over the place, helicopters all over the place, and have to pick up your kid after a school shooting has taken place. That is incredibly unnerving, very surreal, and unfortunately too many parents are having to go through that. And again, here in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, where I live and have been living for the last two decades, it's another story that I wish wasn't happening.
Well, we often know what to pray for, and this is something that's quite evident for Highland Ranch and beyond, and so many prayers for our country and for our children. And you know what? Just Senator Ted, for the good guys, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Put them in your prayers.
For sure. Okay, so just transferring over to some of the political headlines of the day. And this is what was trending on Twitter earlier. And this is the whole McGahn thing with the Trump administration telling his former counsel, ignore these subpoenas. So what I wanted to ask you, because you've got McGahn's attorney saying we have two equal branches of government telling us two different things. Can he listen to the Trump side, to the executive branch, and say, you know, we are going to ignore these subpoenas? And should any of us really care? I mean, the Mueller probe is over for now until they start, you know, focusing more on Hillary and Obama and all these things.
Well, that is what issue is about. This issue is not about the Russia collusion story. This is not about Russian interference in our elections. This is about the current investigation that's going on. The investigation into Russia and collusion, that investigation is over. We spent $25 million and had 19 attorneys looking into that. And what we found was that there was nothing there. What the Democrats are trying to do is obstruct justice into the investigation that's going on currently, which is probably going to lead to FBI, the head of the FBI being put in jail, top people in the FBI being put in jail, part of the Obama administration possibly being investigated. That is what the Democrats are trying to create all of this havoc for and try to interfere in this investigation, because they don't want this investigation to go forward, and they know that Attorney General Barr is actually doing these investigations.
I mean, it's over, but there's still so much to come. And, on this side, you say, like, look out, Clinton's, maybe something will finally stick. We're going to talk about this, and also California. Can they really try to keep President Trump off the ballot in 2020? Up next with Senator Ted Harvey from Colorado and the Committee to Defend the President. Back with former State Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President out of Colorado. You know, you can go there right now, and if you agree with this mission statement, you can support right now. You can donate. Click around and see what some of the issues are and just why Senator Harvey found the need to go. This was sort of an anti-Hillary pack in the beginning. And then once President Trump got elected, it switched to this. And if you agree and are into this, support him, spread the word, it's all good. Senator Harvey, going back to the McGahn subpoenas, you know, the Trump administration is saying don't comply, forget about it. How much more should we pay attention to any of this? How much more can the Democrats do before they can? Are they ever going to let go of this Mueller probe?
Well, I'm sorry you're breaking out, and I don't know if it's on your end or my end, but I think that the Democrats are going to continue to fight this as long as they possibly can into the 2020 elections, because that's really all they have to run on is the fact that the Trump administration won unfairly. You look at what Hillary Clinton said yesterday and her conspiracy theory that she said at her speaking tour is that the election was stolen from her. And again,
she said that. Yes, I'm sorry.
Democrats are doing this is to try to cover up.
I missed that. What did Hillary say? I know not all of our viewers can keep up. What did she say yesterday? I missed that. I've got to hear it.
Well, she said that even if you're the best candidate, even if you win the Democrat nomination, that the election can still be stolen from you, i.e. her election was stolen from her. And that is the bizarre world that Hillary Clinton lives in, is that she can't take credit for her own failures. But again, I believe that the Democrats are only pushing this to try to take away the message, the narrative that is out there, that there are another 15 to 16 investigations that are going on by the Inspector General of the Justice Department and others out there that are doing investigations that are probably going to be pointing fingers at the FBI, at the Obama administration, and perhaps Democrat members of Congress. So that is why they are covering up and doing everything they can to obstruct this investigation by pushing to have the Attorney General subpoenaed and brought before Congress. This is all just a smokescreen.
You know, it might be a smokescreen too, Senator. I hate to be trite about this, but you and I chatted about this months ago. I didn't realize Bill and Hillary are still on their speaking tour. And the news came down that they are, the ticket prices have slashed to what? $2 for some upcoming LA appearances. You have to sort of chuckle, right?
Well, this was at a speaking engagement that they had last night in Las Vegas, and the tickets were selling for, you know, as low as $2 per person. I bet that was on Groupon. Mm-hmm. But how sad is that, that the former president of the United States and mm-hmm. the former secretary of state for the United States is traveling around the country having speaking tours, and they can't sell tickets to their rallies. Mm-hmm. I think that tells you how far the former First Family has devolved in the minds of the American people. And, you know, I, as an American, I think that is sad.
Las Vegas, perhaps, but also this new news is from Los Angeles Saturday night. Some of the I guess, cheap seats, you would say, were down to $2. Now you could get front row center for $92. Anyway, it's a 13-city tour. If you are so inclined to go see Bill and Hillary, chat, then look it up. Ted, you have one of your latest articles on Fox News that's been published, Democrats Beware, Trump is going to win in 2020. Just what are some of the pitfalls you see ahead for the Democrats?
Well, I think that the Mueller report coming out is a complete game changer. If you look at prior to the 2018 elections, there was a complete split in the United States whether the president should be impeached because of his involvement with the Russians in the 2016 elections. Because the Democrats had run with that narrative so long during the last 2 years that there was a lot of consternation out there of what the president's role was in that. Now that the Mueller report has come out and totally taken that off the table and said that not only did the Trump campaign was not involved in the Russia involvement in the elections, but no Americans were. So now you look at the polls and only 25%, the most radical of the Democrats, are saying that there should be impeachment. The rest of the country wants to move on. And what they want to move on to is making the economy great again, making America great again. And if you look at the unemployment rates, they're at 50-year lows. You look at the GDP is at 3.2% growth in GDP. You look at African-American unemployment rates being at historic lows, Hispanic unemployment rates being at all-time lows. You look at the China trade deal that's going to go through here in the next couple of weeks. Everything that the president promised he would do, he is doing, and he is winning. Now that the narrative that the Democrats have been running on for the last 2 years is off the table, I don't see how any Democrat nominee, I don't care who they are, can beat this president. As James Carville so famously said back in the 1990s, it's the economy, stupid. And what is Joe Biden going to do? Is he going to go around the country and say, ask yourself, are you better off now than you were under the Obama-Biden presidency? And the answer is no. I mean, yes, we are incredibly better than we were during the Obama-Biden presidency. And I think the American people are going to come to that conclusion, and Trump's going to win in a landslide.
You just have to wonder, do Democrats wake up in the morning and just curse the air they breathe? Because, like over the weekend, the news on the economy and unemployment, you can't deny that.
That's right. That's right. And wage growth, which is really the best indicator of the economy and people's bottom line, wage growth for African Americans and Hispanics is at an all-time high percentage growth over the last 2 years. And these are the people who are the base of the Democrat Party. As they see their families income going up during a Republican administration that believes in free markets and less regulation and not a bunch of socialism like we saw for the previous 8 years, they're going to have to start thinking in their minds, what do we really want? Do we want to go back to the last 8 years of stagnant growth, no jobs under Obama in the African American and Hispanic communities, or do we want to go in the direction of the Republicans that are actually bringing jobs to the inner cities and employing where wages are increasing and unemployment is at all-time lows? Then you throw in, if the president's actually able to bring forward this infrastructure bill where they're going to be replacing all of these decrepit bridges and roads into the inner cities of the United States, that's going to be a home run for the president. And I don't see how the Democrats can counteract that.
Yeah, that is his wheelhouse, among other things. 40 seconds, but I got to ask you, Senator Ted, what is this junk with California thinking they can keep President Trump off the ballot in 2020?
Well, there's certain things in the Constitution that dictate exactly what is required for you to be able to run for president of the United States, and one of them being a natural-born citizen, and one of them being, I believe it's age 35 to be a president of the United States.
10 seconds for your final thoughts, Ted.
Nowhere does it say you have to supply your tax returns. Right. And the president will be on the ballot in California as he will be in the rest of the country, and he's going to win in a landslide.
The website is thecommitteetodefendthepresident.com. Senator Ted, come back and see us soon. Thank you so much. It is upon us. Mother's Day is this weekend, and who doesn't want to celebrate their mother? Well, I mean, there are all kinds of things that go into it, but the neat thing is we have a Dr. Frieda Birnbaum here who has just some neat tactics on how to celebrate our mothers, appreciate and bond with them, and also ways to celebrate and grieve our mothers if we've lost them, because Mother's Day can be a very melancholy day. And I have to tell you, Dr. Birnbaum is a New York metropolitan-based research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of Life Begins at 60, A New View on Motherhood, Marriage, and Reinventing Ourselves. And she's also got a lot to say on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. And Dr. Frieda, I understand, happy Mother's Day to you early. You had twins at age 60. And I've seen your pictures. I can't believe you're 60, but that makes you the mother of five. Happy Mother's Day, for goodness sake.
Well, you know what? It can be fun. I have to tell you, it does tell you a lot about yourself. But here's the thing, you know, we're talking about relationships, especially with daughters. It can get a little bit touchy at times. So addressing that is very important. There are similarities as you get older. And then again, there's a word that is so, so essential, and that's respecting each other's values, keeping it calm. Don't argue, but inquire about what is going on with the other person, because then you feel understood. You feel that that person cares about you. So it goes hand in hand with each other, and also have experiences together. My daughter and I went to see Maxim. Actually, he taught us lessons, dancing lessons. That was loads of fun. And you know, what's interesting about all this is that as you get older, you become either more like your mother, or you have children, and then you get closer because you really see what she meant. I mean, I hear my mother's voice all the time. Frieda, sit up straight. Frieda, don't argue. Listen, you're talking too much, whatever it is. And the funny part of it all is that she's right. So we can really learn a lot as we get older if we're willing to listen from our mothers, from our daughters, no arguing. And if your listeners and your viewers would think about it, what is it about their mother that's similar to them? That could be an interesting thought in itself.
I love that you speak of this, Dr. Frieda, because when I think of a mother and her daughter, a mother can have so many expectations, so many that they just overwhelm the daughter, and vice versa. The daughter can have expectations for her mother, and it's not at all how she thought it would add up. But you seem to hone in on the fact that we should celebrate what we do have and respect our differences and perhaps what we can learn from each other.
Yes, you know, it's so true. Often I'll bring my daughter home an outfit. She doesn't like it. I get frustrated. Time and time again, why haven't I learned not to buy her anything? I just feel that she has my taste. She doesn't have my taste. Her taste is very different. Or we go out to eat together in a restaurant. I order something I like, and she tells me, wait a minute, it's not healthy, it's fattening, don't enjoy it. If I end up eating a lettuce leaf, then I'll be on board with her. So it's that different discrepancy between each of us that really keeps the momentum going, but also to sit back and laugh at your differences and not to take each other so seriously, because you know you have each other and to enjoy it. So mother-daughter relationships can be very tricky. But then again, you can be very close to each other and can be best of friends. And that's very important to remember.
Talking to Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, drfrieda.com, if you want to go there and learn more, a very helpful website. But I do love this because we can have, again, all these expectations, but you've got a few key factors we can keep in mind if we respect each other, inquire among each other, and hone in on the peacefulness of what can be in a relationship. And you also talk about a surprise, not just on Mother's Day, but keeping that sort of that interest and how can you honor your mother on days when she perhaps is not expecting it. So what else can we learn from you, Dr. Frieda?
I'll tell you, that's the most precious time when you really are thinking of each other and you know that one of you needs a break. One of you needs somebody to talk to, a little gift. I know my daughter bought me perfume the other day, angel perfume that I really love,
that I just commented about,
and she remembered it. And so the thoughtfulness of it all, it's not the purchase, but that she thinks about me and that she cares about me is something that's very enduring through our relationship. So those are the little surprises I'm talking about, the unexpected feelings of good intentions towards each other. Because, you know, when you argue, it's really because you care. It's really because there's a passion. And even if it's negative passion, that's something in the moment. Understanding each other more because you are arguing actually helps in the future, because once you calm down and you realize that you're helping each other, isn't that the best thing to do? So you do have to bring up your differences, but you have to also know what is going to upset the other person. So back and forth, the relationship goes as it grows and as you get older and you understand each other more. So there are wonderful positive moments, and laughter and love also has a passion, just like being angry and being upset with each other, because that's all part of human nature. If you're perfect, then there's something wrong going on.
That humor can go so far. So the respect, mothers love to know that their children love and respect them, and, you know, offering them that. And as you say, the little surprises, bringing in that humor. But also, we on both sides of the aisle, we need to inquire in each other what's going on with you and truly listen to each other, right?
You have to listen to each other, because often when you talk about the little things, then the big things do come out and you're used to connecting. So anything you would talk about, the weather, feelings, and then you're there and you feel safe about exposing other things to each other that you may not be so sure about how the other person will react to you. So you always start with the little things, and that's very beneficial actually in any relationship. And a lot of what I'm talking about, mother-daughter, does apply to relationships and families and with spouses and even with friends. Listening, being there for each other, being kind, having good experiences, making a difference. All that is so important and so vital in our lives in general, even to strangers, opening a door for each other. Love is really the answer to everything we're doing, and that holds us and makes us feel secure.
Dr. Frieda, I've got only 30 seconds, and I apologize, but I have to ask you, what about people who are going through maybe their first Mother's Day without their mother, or grieving that they've lost them just even a few years back? Because the grieving process probably never ends.
That's very difficult. I have a patient who lost her daughter, and I just texted her, and I said to her, I'm sorry about this horrible pain that you're going through, but you have been a wonderful mother, and you couldn't have done a better job. And therefore, you have to feel satisfied because you can only do so much. I lost my mother May 1st, so Mother's Day is a bittersweet moment for me as well. But then again, we only have so much control in our lives. And when we go back to the good memories, that's what sustains us, because the end is not the life that she lived.
Final words. Thank you, Doctor. I'll be riding shotgun. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and there are fewer things that can impact us as much as our workplace does. And so we are so pleased to welcome back Dr. Arlen Diamond of DiamondAssociates.net. She's going to chat with us for the next few moments about dealing with the most common workplace issues. And there are a few. There are things like bullying, cultural differences, not feeling like you are held in great esteem that can really impact us day to day. And it may not even be true. It may be just what we're thinking in our minds. But Dr. Diamond, what are some of these things that can trigger us, and how can we get past them to really, as they say on social media, live our best lives?
Well, I think that we're all thin-skinned. You know, we pretend that we're not, but what happens is somebody says or does something and it's misinterpreted.
Sure.
And it's misinterpreted in a way to make you feel as though they did it to you on purpose. And so many of the kinds of conflict that happens in the workplace are really things that are just misunderstandings and inadvertent. The other thing that happens a lot, and this whole Me Too movement is trying to put a stop to it, is sexual harassment. But a lot of sexual harassment is really simply what is intended as good-natured teasing or intended as a, let's say, crude compliment, and is taken the wrong way. We have different ages, different cultures, different ways of looking at the same situation. And so people have very strong reactions, not always the reaction that was intended by the sender.
It's very difficult because people can have seriously different moral compasses. You can have someone say to you, whether it's in the workplace or in a social environment, something that seems so extremely offbeat and off base, and you think, why would they think they had the right to say that to me? You know, Dr. Diamond, I got to tell you, I'm a church girl. So when people really go for the crude, sometimes I'm like, what makes you think you can say that to anybody? Or me, what indication have I given you? So how do you coach people that it's the right thing to err on the side of caution there?
You know, it's interesting. I was at a all-day event seminar. I was one of the participants on one of the panels. And on one of the other panels, the speaker, the speaker was incredibly crude. He just used every vile word you can think of. I'm not going to bother to even abbreviate them for you. You know what he said. And the audience were a bunch of professional people, mostly Asian, and really offended by that type of language. And the guy thought he was being cute. You know, he thought he was a comedian. And several of us were talking about it afterwards. And I'm no prude. And it was offensive. It was inappropriate. I wonder why people think they can get away with that.
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
happens in the workplace is exactly what you just said, that people from different cultures, different ways of considering things to be appropriate, will rub each other the wrong way. And unfortunately, in the workplace today, we're demanding, and fortunately, I should say, we're getting much more civil behavior, much more professional and courteous behavior, yeah. because we're trying to knock out all of that crude stuff.
You know, it's hard because you don't want to feel like you have to tiptoe around and be not down to earth. But frankly, you know, some of these other issues, you do say, you know, why don't you err on the side of caution? And I guess it's just hard over the past decade since we've gotten away from God and country and church to know just where we are supposed to go. But I'm just going to name a few of the common workplace issues that people cite as the issues they do have. And if you want to grab onto any one of them, you do talk about bullying, harassment, communication problems, interpersonal conflict, discrimination, low yeah. motivation and job satisfaction, and poor job fit. Any of those stand out as something that you really want people to know about? Hey, if you're feeling this, you're not alone.
I think discrimination exists. I think poor communication exists. I think discrimination has gone underground, which makes it worse, actually,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, things are happening to people and you're not quite sure what's going on here.
Can you hone in on that a little more, on just what you think the discrimination, who it targets?
Yes. I think one example in particular, a company that I was consulting to had a lot of space. And the way the space was configured was that the management team were on the perimeter and they all had offices, not necessarily window offices, but at least offices. There was one black manager, and they could never find an office for this guy for some Aww. Strange reason. He was only given a cubicle, and not only that, the cubicle he was given was far away from where his people were sitting in the, you know, bullpen cubicle areas, whereas the other managers were all in close proximity to their teams. You think that might have been discrimination? I do. I was told by the HR department that certainly it was not. It was just one of those unfortunate kinds of things that happened. I later learned, consulting to this company, that there were other examples of things that happened to other minority people. So that's one example. Another example is making assumptions about the capabilities of a person to do something based on their gender, their size, you know, whatever.
Oh my goodness.
And just passing them by rather than giving them that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that's a man-woman difference a lot, you know, mm-hmm. Especially when you're in organizations where there's physical activity as part of what you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. I think that there's discrimination against people that come in from other countries. I know of a group of Indian people who came in, and trying to not mention companies, but they came from India for a 6-month contract with one of our oil refineries. And the American guys, there were very few women, so the American guys at the oil refinery were absolutely rude and dismissive to this group of Indian young men, because the Indian young men, knowing they were only going to be here for 6 months, rented a small apartment that they all shared. Now, in India, a lot of people wind up rooming together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, you know, one bed, one room for each child. And so for the Indian people, they weren't doing anything completely, particularly outrageous, but they were trying to save money, obviously.
Doc, we're going to have to leave it there, but I do want you to tell me the name of your book that addresses so much of this, so your book on conflict.
Conflict in the Workplace, Causes and Cures.
Great. DiamondAssociates.net. Dr. Diamond, we are always so blessed to have you. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
roof or something.
Sounds like the umbrella.
There's way too much adorable viral pet video on the internet, right? Can distract you for days. So happy Mother's Day, if that's what gets you going. Mother's Day is this Sunday. And we want to say hi to all the moms out there, and God bless you. And also, we had Dr. Frieda Birnbaum on talking about ways to appreciate and bond with your mother. DrFrieda.com is where you can find her. Also, Dr. Arlen, there it is, TV's favorite psychologist. She gave birth to twins at age 60? You know, we've got to do a whole segment on that coming up soon, I think. Dr. Arlen Diamond was talking about workplace processes today and some of the top things that bug us in the workplace and how we can, maybe fix them and address them and do better for our mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And Senator Ted Harvey was here with the Committee to Defend the President with some of the political headlines of the day, talking about the whole McGahn thing, the subpoena thing. Should we pay attention? Should we care? Or should we just move on, Democrats? Thank you very much. Finally tonight, something very fun you have trending. It's another great Conan O'Brien video. It has to do with mothers and fathers giving tips about how to make the Conan show better. And we're going to take a look now as we say goodbye for now.
You can tell me anything you want. You're not going to get in trouble. Chris here is going to work with me until the day I die.
Yeah.
One more year. I was going to tell Chris later. I don't want to bum him out, but.
But Colin, let me tell you something now, really. I'm not trying to cut you short, but I take therapy and I got to get ready to go.
He just had hip surgery.
Oh, you just had hip surgery and you've got to go?
Yeah, I got to go to take my therapy.
You got
to
go get your therapy.
Yeah.
You know, this is Conan O'Brien calling you.
Yeah, I know, but...
Mr. Hill, this is a big deal. I'm calling you and giving you a chance to change the future of television, and you're saying I gotta run out the door?
Yeah, but no, really.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, what's up?
What are you, this is Adam.
How's it going?
Yes, sir, how are you, Adam?
Good.
Let's get my chair. I didn't know you had a chair. Adam. So squeaky chair over there. Is that you, Kramer?
Sorry.
All right. Will you just what's going on with the chair?
I don't know. It's been broken since I had it.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to shoot a remote here. Okay, and it sounds like a pirate ship.
3-hour time difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Phone's ringing a lot. Interesting. They have an answering machine, but it only picks up after 65 rings. That's a model they don't make anymore.
Maybe they have turned it off.
Maybe it picked up, but instead of a greeting, it's just more ringing.
Don't
get impatient. That's okay. The problem with your generation. This is in the old days when I was a kid. Used to let our phone ring 120 times before you picked it up.
Hello, you've reached me. We can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave your
Loretta
name and
what?
Number, Loretta we'll and Lee.
Let me leave him a quick message.
Okay.
Hi, Loretta. Hi, Lee. This is Conan O'Brien from The Conan Show. I'm here with Adam. Your phone, I'm just letting you know, rings about 160 times before the answering machine picks up. Which begs the question, and I'm not trying to be rude, I don't know you, but what's the point of having an answering machine if it waits until the person's grown a full beard before it picks up? So there's probably an adjustment on the back.